Thank you for coming to the Director of the Town Council meeting here tonight. If y'all would like to join in, group in, any great council, and we'll have a little prayer here. Make sure each other on the prayer list.
Thank you all for letting me put the prayer in, I do want to mention, I could real fast, on the path of Carolina Beach Alliance Church and some of the like-minded pastors on the island, and they're getting together the last 2 months, once a month, on Thursday morning, we're just, our special desire is just to want to pray for the community, just without working on the community. So, if there's anybody that knows any particular needs that you think you should be praying for, you definitely welcome that. Of course, it's not anybody,
Give up the power, their power with liquor license. We're not little bit more input. That would be on the trial there, almost like a data game saving error account. So when we get that ready, we'll come back and give it to you, and see if Chief Cooper can't deliver it, give us your input, same thing to you, London and Carolina Beach, and then see if everybody's willing to go in together and have it. Representatives of the government have to get into the case, yes, we want to see what we would like to do, and then hopefully we can see if we can be able to respond to that. But it's just something we're looking at to try a little bit more level of control. That's basically it. I just want to make sure you didn't reach out to the paper and say, we're all right with these stuff, so I just want to keep it in.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for coming. The chief is already written in, brought up to speed on that, and so whenever you get there, ready.
Okay. And we'd love to get all the chiefs together before you guys go to
the chief. Maybe you can pull the question.
Mayor, what is one of the things that you would ask the local police forces to do that they aren't already
compliant? I'm told they can't go in and correct me if I'm wrong, but they can't really enforce the ALE laws that are going on in that bar. Like, our guys really can't go in there and get someone for a bartender for serving someone underage. They're not allowed to do that. They're right.
I think the big part there is there's always been that division from the ALE and the police. They also have a lot of employees, but making sure that we can tax pay all the necessary things for the ALE cities. And we do not do that. I consider there to be a cartel that could do that. I don't think there would be a primary function for us, but it would be nice to have that flexibility, and everybody would manage what would be functional, or make LA what would be functional for us.
And the goal not the local, but to say they're going to have an LA duty. But just to let foreigners know that there are only so many LA officers that exist. A lot of bars in Hammer County really don't give that off. It's just an attendance, but I didn't want to make sure that you guys are aware of it. Yes, sir.
Yes, David. You said this is going to be kind of a test period.
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, that sounds
very good. I think that's a better chance.
Be a little more proactive than
you have there. I mean, and not shut bars down, like it. Make the safer places and, you know, more enjoyable for people to use them and help them try to, try to make it a little bit quieter in the neighborhood.
Thank you. Ms. Gatlin? Friend of mine, you guys have never been to Ms. Gatlin. He served many years on the Forest Oil and Beauty Commission. And he and Danny Medlin, the chief of the area, used to walk all over Washington together trying to shake a little sand out of them. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here, Mr. Mayor.
You need my address?
I think that the last meeting, I don't usually bring my mayor with me.
I know you left before you started.
I think he's heard this already. I'm here today as chairman of the Forest Oil and Beauty Peace Commission. We work for all of the county states, I think. And I wanted to give you an update as to things that we're doing and answer any questions you don't have. It's a little different. And hopefully talk more with your concurrence and to get it passed forward. Over the years, Cadena County has enjoyed a very dependable partnership with federal and state partners that we've had. It gives us mature species and good storm protection environments. We've got lots of cooperation agreements with the federal government, kids in 65%, the state with kids in 75%, the next 35%, and we would pay the rest of it out of our local road checks. And we saved up that road checks for eventually our leasing stores. In the last few nursing cycles, we've achieved very diminishing success in completing four projects due to a lack of needed federal funding. I got here a little early and I went, it's not performing as well as it normally did. And we know that we didn't get all the things that we were supposed to get. And but what we did get largely was a result of getting emergency storm supplemental funding and waiting for a hurricane to come along to fund our beaches. Our hope for a hurricane is not a sustainable course of action. And, you know, as we know, as our coastal assets are the life preserve of the Chiefs, New Mexico County Court, and sent out about the most important thing that we've got. And we got beach and urban fund, which is the first 3% of the road tax way back, and we did 60% of that. That goes into a sand fund that we've built it over the years. And it's designed to enable us to make up shortfalls when we don't
head at the time that I need to have some mercy. There's a problem. There's a bizarre and bizarre federal prohibition against local contribution on these federal products. You can do it on that gas project, you can do it on rivers, you can do it on the coastal waterway, it's a decent commercial project, you cannot add more than that percentage. So the federal government doesn't put in enough, we can't make up the difference. And we've been working on that for years, trying to get that turned around, and don't really know why, but the one explanation that I got that might be closest to the truth is that there are people in Washington that are afraid to pulling somebody else on the bed, not being in a position to be able to do that. And that might be the truth, I don't know, and there's some other issues. That's not the general level of our church surrounding in property values, but also it's tied to our standing high exceptions to formation on our room tax projections being able to reverse the people no matter what. And in 4 years, when those are renewed, we made a close to where they were going to take that away from us. So even though we have the money to complete our projects, we've trusted it by the executive authority. We had our own permits this last cycle. We may have been able, or some other way of using the existing permit, we may have been able to complete the projects and do a good forward commercial. Right now, with all the traces down in Louisiana, those sand burns out. Even if we have the money, that's what we're getting at up here. Sand piles over $30 million not being able to use it is not a good place. Right? So the Forest Water Resources Beach Commission, we strongly recommend that we have a contingency plan in place. That's what we're working on. By the way, Carolina Beach, their project comes out in 2015. And we just found out that the Corps of Engineers is going to treat it as a new start, which means that we can't turn that around. And we'll end up having to design permit our own beach. So that affects you. Because if their beaches are not where they're supposed to be, then they're the same as what we're doing. So we can't hope that the coastal, that we just keep hoping that things are going to get better. We can't assume that Congress is going to grant us security and authority all of a sudden. Hopefully they're going to work to reverse their funding trends that have just gone down and down and down over the years. So we recommend a security funding. The county management, Chris Cooper, one of the professors here, has selected a consultant to work on this permanent contingency plan. And what we hope to get out of this are contingencies and alternatives for future federal and state funding, different scenarios, reauthorization strategies for Carolina Beach, since we're all in this together, like I said. Strategies for authorization to lower the cost share and how we can possibly do that, and then maybe scenarios for partially funding a project in the federal government, partially funding a project, which, you know, we almost did at the last minute here at Carolina Beach. We have to be ready for that next cycle. And then we'll have to call some schedule projections for changing local permits in case we have to do that. And also some areas for improved regional state management, which will also be a The agency funding contract will probably have a design permitting option, which might come in real handy if you figure out a structure to have permits for Carolina Beach. We got the money. We just don't have the ability to use it. So we're looking for ways to continue to work diligently on restoring the federal partnerships. And in fact, those 30 days, your PCDA last is 2048. It would be nice to get things back to the way they work, but we're working that angle, but we're also having a change in the place. So, I just wanted to let you guys know what we were looking at and why we're looking to hire this consultant. That, according to Lana Oakley and Bruce Shell, that the same portion surplus that we need to be ready for money will be used to pay for that contingency plan. So, all kinds of jail revenues. And it is directly related to beach commercials. And so I wanted to answer any questions that you have, and then hopefully your phone's over, we'll put it in this question.
I was just curious, Rick, as to what we can do as a community to help in your efforts. We have our building inspector, I don't know if it would help you all in any way, but he's doing study on the movement of the sand this summer.
We can work with our consultant, John Harrison.
I'm sure he would be happy to confirm the data that they're collecting.
When do you think you may have a resolution for this?
I don't even have to have one. I just more of a courtesy to let you guys know what we're doing and hopefully answer any questions. And if you have any concerns, you know that I'm a full one go before the county commissioners and the administrators of our business council.
And Rick, along with everybody that gives us a step on that, had an article in TV about the police in America, and did not let our side present the facts. So we've actually got a major part of the commissioner's performance, but not do it.
No, we don't charge for any of our parking or anything else. We're totally open to the public, no matter from what state you're from.
It's just too important. I mean, we cannot have a failed insurance in the county and the laws of the property values of infrastructure. Particularly in the other way. So we're going to find a way not to be in it.
I have a tender feelings. I really strongly believe that the two towns need to be treated as one because it's the same standing as we're both using depending on the area of travel for the same. So.
But that's actually one of the scenarios that will come out of this study, just working in the Southern Cable, is get permits for all these. Just to do a county-wide permit, that way we've got flexibility. We never know how much I find flexible these without the truth. Anyway, you need to be with it. We can't go through all these things.
And I want to thank you again for what you did and for speaking to that extra business.
Well, I don't know how successful we were.
That's not a whole lot. It's a little bit else.
Jim, do you want to make a resolution to support or do you want to make it? I'd like to make a motion to support a resolution in support of the United County Courts of Water Litigation Commission.
I'd like to be more specific about what we're supporting. I mean, we're recommending that they have a contract for the design funding action.
They're working for it. Or a permanent contingency plan. That's what we need right now. We need support. But if there are options out there that recommend that sure we can get it on permits, we need to come back and use the 4-week exercise option because we're already flooding the amount of people.
Yeah. If it's going to happen when we buy the tank, one of the estimated costs is the contingency plan and buying permanent action.
I would say it's probably be in the $100,000 range.
And there is in the beach portion of the ROC, but the sand portion. The sand portion. But, you know, we take $100,000 to hire a consultant, then that $100,000 isn't available for the sand portion. And part of the whole idea is this thing where if the government ever gets out of the decision, that fund will be self-sufficient, that we can pay for a few beach and Carolina Beach, Alaska Beach, in years to come.
And that's the catch 22. And then we have $34 million we can't use, and this $100,000 or whatever it is, but find a way to be able to help us use that. So we're in that catch 22 while we are losing some money that, and if we do have a promise, we'll spend some money to do that too. It's going to be the time to come to that. But without that fund is just sitting there, and in today's times, $34 million sitting there, I can promise you, if you look at it, there's wrong with it. And we need to have a mechanism in place to do
it. How will that affect, for example, one of the things that we did in our budget this year, in addition to the 65% federal quiet even there is a 35% stated local. And up to now, the county has always used the beach, the same portion of the beach,
So we got one and we just can't use it. We have time to get it to be usable. So.
And is that $100,000 one year, 2 years, 3 years?
It's going to be a whole 3 or 4 month project. And if we're moving into the next phase, I don't know how much to be more than that. And you need and should have the opportunity for working on that.
So basically what you're asking us to do tonight, we commit or agree to the county committee the $100,000
for no reason. I want to push that
well, that, I mean, if we don't use that number, we're essentially not going to wear our
hats. You don't have to do a resolution. I just need to know if we have any concerns about it, because the county commission is going to want to know if we have any concerns about it. And before we know all the way at the end and find out there's a problem, it's a resolution of support for the concept is probably the least efficient. There are a couple of early permanent conditions.
Would it need to be a resolution or is it an affirmation that we have as a council endorsed the action to go ahead and get this started, get this study started?
I think this problem, you know, I've been talking about it for years, but the money's there, you're hamstring this out usually.
Well, for example, we get no money for 30 days next year, and we don't do this. Not next year, but next summer. We don't do this, there will be no same thing. We will have no way of doing anything. We can't wait until them. They're not moving in Washington in the right direction to be able to help them.
I think more and more oriented than expecting us to take care of our own.
Why do you think it's all for them all to take care of us?
Well, that's the answer.
We're working to try to do
it. So I'm not looking at here, and I'm not trying to nitpick this, but I think what we're asking county commissioners to go through is the hiring of a group that will do a two-part thing. One would be essentially trying to get the law changed so that we can design and permit our own program if federal money gets out of the campus. Notice they're going to be outlining the various options that we have to move forward. And then when we choose our options, then we'll be assessed.
And it's going to cost $100,000
to outline
our office. That's what it costs. And then it costs $20,000. It's in that, it's order of that. We're also evaluating the feasibility of the county on the bridge. So there's some more land. They're looking at the same sources in erosion treatments.
They are still studying the erosion.
Well, I don't know if you're comfortable as far as motion is concerned, that we are in general agreement with the idea of providing a contingency plan, and that depending on the details and the impact on the new line and the beach plan, that we heard them to speak
to us. This is from our finance.
Thank you. Close to my sir.
on the audience knows, my name is Mike Russell. I'm on the faculty in the assistant professor at Kansas State. I'm in the area of environmental restoration, so some of the projects that I work on are directly related to protecting the ecosystem and particularly water quality. And that's why I got involved with this project. And so today, I wanted to give you a brief update whether or not we've been involved in this project. It's probably before I even started, but at least since 2005 with this particular idea. Just brief background, like I said, we've been working with the town and in the North Carolina Department of Transportation since 2005 to reduce stormwater flow directly onto the beaches and to the ocean. And I want to highlight that this was a proactive effort to prevent any potential water quality problems that may arise with associated bacteria running into the ocean. We had two systems that have been operational since 2006, located at L and N Avenue, where it intersects with Atlantic, and more recently a third system was installed in February of 2009. And so I produced this presentation with the idea that most people in the room do realize that there are a couple of stormwater systems here in Jersey trying to do this job. Okay, so I'd like to give you an overview of all the systems' performance and its future potential. The overall concept of the dune infiltration system is pretty simple. It installs traditional water discharge directly to the ocean and uses the sand dunes as essentially a sand filter to direct the water into and actually filter the water as it moves laterally with groundwater to the ocean. But the idea that any of that water going through the sand will have less potential to make swimmers sick than it would if it was directly discharging out onto the beach. Okay. Believe it or not, this is just classic sand filter technology. So this technology's been around for many years. However, it's innovative that it's been used directly at the ocean beach interface. Here's a design schematic looking from the top down on a plane view of how the system essentially works. On the left, you can see a stormwater pipe that we actually put a diversion into to divert the water underneath the ground into a surface of a couple of tanks of subsurface chambers that were buried beneath the dune, and where the stormwater would then infiltrate into the ground and mix with the groundwater to move laterally down the stream toward the beach. And we've been monitoring the system's performance. Each one of those little dots there are ways we can collect groundwater samples and measure how the water samples beneath the system to actually react between storms. Few installation photos on the upper left hand is what one of the subsurface strength chambers look like. It's about 8 feet long by about 3 feet tall and 5 feet wide. And light enough for two workers to pick it up and place it into the trench in the deep. A couple of photos not showing up so well in the lighting here of some of the early construction of the systems at L and M Avenue, and to the left, on the bottom left, here's the vault that actually diverts the water into the system. So let's cut to the chase. How these systems work, and I'm going to talk about these with respect to the older systems first, and then I'm going to migrate into how the newer systems work. They diverted 97% of the stormwater into water that drains to these outfalls. And kept it away from the beach. That means only 3% of the runoff from these watersheds since 2006, which encompasses about 12 acres, have discharged onto the beach. When we design these systems, and when you design most stormwater systems, you're hoping for 50 to 60% reduction in volume of water. And we've achieved 97. Okay? And when the water goes into the dunes, the water table elevations rise underneath the building and break it, and then go back down to levels that we're measuring in other things, not receiving the stormwater within 2 or 3 days. And so it's not affecting the hydrology or groundwater near these systems significantly. Well, our focus was fecal bacteria. So we've looked at several things. The water actually, the bacteria levels in the soil water that were coming out of the outfall actually do have elevated fecal bacteria concentration. And that's not unusual for any stormwater system on the coast, or in Raleigh for that matter. Okay? So we see, depending on the storm and the time of year, we see counts of bacteria between 10 and 1,000. Okay? And that the concentration usually is not important, but if you're not important, but if you just think about the state limit for contact water being around 100, that sometimes you need storms that have 10 times the amount that is considered safe for human contact. And the groundwater samples beneath these two systems, and we take these monthly, and after storm, you see the numbers in the groundwater down to 20 to 40, okay? Which is significantly less than the state limit for contact water. When we move out to where the dune intersects the beach, right there where the vegetation ends and the beach begins, we see even less concentrated of bacteria than that. It ends up being about 98% less than the incoming stormwater. So I think, yes, the systems are definitely reducing fecal bacteria concentration. And the water still has to move with the groundwater from the edge of the new interface out underneath the discharge of the ocean. So those levels would actually probably be even lower than they're monitored. How about the new K-Avenue system? This system is right next to the pier. It was designed to tackle a more urgent watershed with higher bacterial loads, meaning we expected there to be more stormwater runoff reaching this system than the systems in LEM, which are a little less developed. I think all of you would agree. One of the reasons we got such high removal rates in those systems is that there wasn't that much stormwater runoff, and the concentrations of the bacteria entering that stormwater were less, because you were in more of a rural, less urban environment compared to around the intersection of Cadd and New Atlantic. This one, instead of one outfall, collects stormwater from multiple outfalls. It's actually installed at a deeper depth in the dunes because of the surrounding infrastructure already there in place. The stormwater outfall and the sewer system will force to put it a little bit deeper. That means there's less available sand for infiltration. So we knew going in that this system would be taxed much more than the system at LEM, so that would give our system a true test that would have ramifications of design in other places. You can see just by all the lines on this system that the system is much more complicated. There were 3 outfalls that were diverted in this. And the experience that I, as a designer, and the Public Works Department was running as being paramount in installation, even though it was a more complicated design, I think we actually had a easier time putting this one in than the first one, which you agree with me here on that one. And so we had made progress, and that's part of my job too, is to work with towns, work with individuals on how to put in technologies like this. And I feel very comfortable right now, turning this down loose and put more of these in than they actually need. I'd like to add there with that, the study and the Public Works Department have been there whenever I needed something, and were a joy to work with, and it was an all-hands-on-deck effort every time that we needed to put one of these systems in. Fantastic. Even when we put in wells for our monitoring, we got support from the fire department as well to actually get these wells in, and they were real helpful. It's been a pleasure working with the team on this project. So we've only been monitoring this system since around the end of spring of 2009. And this system was diverting 80% of the stormwater away from the beach. So I just showed you 97% and 80%. Well, we're still way above those levels that you expect for stormwater practices. put it in perspective, in a year, 3.8 million gallons of storm water left exited onto the beach and into the ocean. So that's a significant amount of water that's not going in around the pier anymore. We expect the volume of runoff to be much higher per acre of watershed, and the chambers actually filled with water in between storms much more than they do at L&M that has less water going in. Is the bacteria being removed? The answer to that is yes. But the concentration of the bacteria coming into this area is much higher than it was. We're talking about between 1,000 and 8,000 counts, as I described earlier. And that makes sense. In a more urban environment, you've got more sources of bacteria, and you've got water getting to the systems a lot quicker. However, if you compare the blue numbers, sunscape groundwater and control cycle, we monitored the groundwater where it was not receiving any water. We're down to those numbers 45 and 4.
Could you explain the items on the watershed area for the KF?
Okay. Roughly the watershed for K Avenue extends past Big Eddy Crescent up state, and I don't know, two blocks over and then all the way to the beach, along Atlantic Avenue going south and then behind the restaurants that are there. And so there's a lot more concrete there than it is at L&M Avenue, which is most of a lot of residential homes there. More importantly, I'd like for you to focus on those last numbers. The site tank vegetation line and the control site vegetation line. Those numbers are down to 8 and 2 of a median, which is a statistical reference of the most common value that we get out there, and on average between 20 and 21. Okay, so there's a significant reduction of bacteria, again, down to the beach vegetation interface. So the system is more heavily loaded, the concentration of bacteria in the groundwater is slightly elevated compared to the other systems not being overloaded, but it's still very, very efficient in removing bacteria. This has been a fantastic opportunity to do coastal education. I don't know if any of you have seen groups of people standing around here, but we have coastal storm or shop tours for professionals other folks. We've done 4 engineering summer camps. The campers have actually helped plant the dunes out there at K Avenue. We have UNCG Marine Biology Class read about the project that came down. It's been the topic of our Department of Senior Design Project, which is a capstone project where the students actually came up with the design for the system at hand. With slight modifications, we were able to install it almost as designed. Students have gotten an act, will have gotten a master's degree by studying this. There's been some newspaper articles and the University of Stillwater magazine articles about the project. And I think another one is going to be coming out with the university in the next few months. Final thought, the plan is to keep monitoring the systems until the end of 2010. I think we'll have enough data there to really make a strong recommendations of where else in Tier D this could be utilized and possibly other beach communities as well. Maintenance is something that we're going to have to address for the end of this project. We recently snaked a camera with the help of the Tampa Tier D Public Works to check to see if anything is clogging in some of the pipes. We did see a couple of areas that were in need of a little bit of repair, but it's been 4 years, and so the maintenance of it is, or they're holding up really well. Just regular maintenance is probably what we're going to need to do. The thing that I'll be available to discuss the integration of the system with proposed pool water park, the folks that are at K, located real close to each other. And I'll be more than happy to continue my association as the town seeks funding for additional systems as needed. And I'd also like to partner with the town if you'll allow me to maybe do several one-day workshops as the years go on and talk about the system and talk about how partnerships between Series B and academia and NCDOT can really have some good solutions of solving water quality problems. So with that, I'll stop. I appreciate you letting me talk with you today.
Is there any thoughts to monitor more people?
Oh, we do a less frequent analysis of nutrient analysis. The concentrations of nutrients and metals and that sort of thing coming off are not that high, and the sand infiltration does not do a fantastic job in removing nitrogen. It does a little bit, but the concentrations coming in are very low already. In any treatment system, when you have low concentrations coming in, it's really hard to get any lower than that. Those are the other things that we're monitoring.
Yes, has this system been approved by the state? I understand that's what your goal is, to get it approved by DOT so that it can be implemented in other counties.
We would like for this technology to be added to the best management practice toolbox that would be available to folks. The DOT, when we wrote this last grant to do this monitoring, they were actually as interested in seeing how systems like this may work at bridge crossings, where you have staining areas and you're having to deal with the runoff from the bridge itself. If we divert that into the ground, we can get some filtration before it makes it into the water. Anything?
Right. I'd just like to make sure that the audience recognizes the fact that this does not do away with the alcohol system.
Right.
This is a significant impact on the alcohol system, but once these systems fill up with water, the overflow continues on out the alcohol system. But that only happens during the significant rainfall. So all of that purposes on a day-to-day basis, this system can handle what goes on in Cherry Beach as far as normal rain showers and things like that. When you're talking about a three-day rain or a hurricane or something like that, continues to see water coming out of the alcohol.
Absolutely. With that, the system was designed with the alcohol as overflow for these large events. The good thing about that is that a lot of if you have a large storm, a lot of that early water will go into the chambers before the overflow event occurs. But exactly, the water is still coming out of that, those outfall because it's a large event.
Mike, has been true that the first inch and a half or whatever, or half inch in that, where the most load of your people or whatever the vehicle has the first launch is that in most cases.
The most contaminants, that is true. There's been some recent studies about bacteria that are not quite as cut and dry as that. But most times you're taking, just like if you had dirt on your driveway and you went out there and hosed it down, the muddy water would come off first and the water would get cleaner as you continue to wash out the pond shop.
Mike, do you know how long your monitoring stations are going to be down there?
We're looking to begin that monitoring by the end of this year. And again, I really appreciate it. I know that it's caused a little bit of a headache down there, migrating around there. We have a desk to see how long this would actually get run over. But it's holding up pretty well. Yeah. So I know that it's been a bit of an asshole. We work hard to try to come up with a system that wouldn't stand out like a sore thumb. But we really do appreciate the cooperation that we receive from the town and thank you for that.
Well, I think it's been a great program for the town, and a few people have been to the same things that the town and said that we needed modifications or whatever you were there to give us any options.
And I got a lot of good ideas from some too on and talking about the same the best way to put it in.
We probably have like 17 outcomes. up and down, but just there since then, I can't remember. There's some quantity that, and the idea is, if this proves out, that we eventually put this system in where so that the water that we're all swimming in will be a lot cleaner.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that Mike was talking about, so what we'd like to do is to have this as the best management practice for the New Jersey place, if you like clean water trucks or whatever, and possibly get some funding later on where we can start putting these in, trying to eliminate, you know, the force flush or whatever. There's going to be some problems with some areas because of the area that we have to work with. We don't have as much boom system in the area, but there's a lot of boom system that we're going to be able to use, so it's going to work in a lot of places.
And you might be worth noting that the alternative to Mike's system costs as much as a space shuttle. And while condemning property along the ocean front, building the land, and then pumping it across artificial wetlands from the river, so this is a much desirable alternative.
And that's my question.
One time you had to eliminate so this is having to eliminate.
So the memory calls we had eliminated, but we saw sooner or later through the years that the state was going to come in, the federal government was going to come in and do that. What we're doing is being proactively trying to cut down the stuff that they want us to keep from the ocean, and that's what we're trying to do without having to spend $20 to $30 to $40 million to set up systems like counseling talking about. They have to try to pump, and it'll be more than that now probably, but that's what you're doing in this discussion.
I know where you can do some of that.
But there's only one other community in the state that has more pushing off laws than we do. That's it. So we have some good people.
I think few systems are still out of the south.
And when we say here, we'd like to include DOT.
Yeah,
they have a finance. That's right, and they're a part of this with us.
But
I think it's important to know that all of us can feel proud of our town that we've taken this effort and that we're trying, that we're working to do this because it is sort of cutting edge technology, even though the basic conduct is old. This application is sort of cutting edge, and the time period each is working real hard on to improve the environment of our town and the ocean environment.
And I think this is something for a consecutive elected council to continue this program. Nobody wants to travel or put those in the
and some of the arrows too.
Well, whatever the phrase is.
And everybody has it.
Yeah, they got a lot of options. Any questions from the audience? Mike,
what's the system cost?
For materials?
Well, the last one that we did was somewhere around
22.
So that's 22 to 24.
Yeah, 22 to 24.
And the other two systems were about 27. And that's not including. But the materials, when you start comparing it with other types of stormwater needs on the per acre basis, it's pretty expensive. And compared to the space shuttle, DST supplies the money for the materials for construction and for the monitoring and funded the rapid to study the process.
So what is about sanitary beach is that the public works and to some extent the fire department for labor from our folks to help put it in and we also committed to the town to the ongoing maintenance, which so far has been minimal, but we'll know that the time will come through and
so they go forward to try to get systems into some of our other areas. Do we have an idea of what that would cost? It's supposed to be like it'd be a great thing. I would like to say that in some ways it could be less expensive than the ones that we put in to begin with. Suffering one negative of the water shed that we start moving toward now, we're going to have less water flood and it would require less chambers.
some of the ways, some of the things that we did by putting these in, we put them in certain ways so we could monitor them. And that became a little bit more soon. If I had to put the system at L Avenue and M Avenue in again, chances are I would make those systems a little bit smaller now that I know what the watershed characteristics are. But going forward with knowing how those watersheds behave, I can apply that knowledge to some of the other watersheds that maybe they assume we won't for the same thing.
Yeah, right, and these are DOT outlaws, and I hope that they'll have money available at all sets of dollars and grants as well. I guess it's a great scenario.
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion that we, in view of support for Mike and Buffy and all of our people, to go forward any way that we can help.
I think we're doing all we can do, and I appreciate you being here tonight. Thank you for having me. It's good to look.
Thanks.
Not over yet, though. Well, I want to maintain the partnership as long as I'm in good
time. I think, yeah, whoever's sitting up here, that's going to be a problem. You know it works, and we appreciate what you're doing for us.
We're going to take a 5-minute recess when the light comes out, and Bob, can you hold the time set up? Thank you.